baby. The final hour of the week here on First Up. Friday morning, we are feeling fantastic here on the show. Karolnik and Coley Acabo. Huge weekend in the city of Toronto as the Leafs and the Bruins game number 4 on Saturday night. And tonight, it's Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers in town. Let the booze rain down on Ohtani, who used the Jays as leverage to get more money from the Dodgers. I don't know if that's actually the case, and we know the whole story about the airplane and the sushi restaurant.
Oh, it's the case.
Who knows how it all played out. Let's welcome in our good friend from ESPN. It's Buster Olney, who I imagine is in great spirits this morning as his Minnesota Vikings have their quarterback of the future in J.J. McCarthy. What's up, Buster? How we doing?
Yep. Rainbows and sunshine all over the place. We got our quarterback going forward. We, you know, he's got a year apprenticeship. We got Sam Darnold. We got great offensive weapons. We got a good defensive, a linebacker with our second first round pick yesterday. It was a great day. And you've already answered my question because I was going to ask you guys what kind of response, Ohtani would get from the crowd. And based on what you just said, I think it's going to be loud, and I don't think it's going to be welcoming.
I think you're skeptical, Carlo. He's getting booed tonight, 100%. Yes.
Okay, but why?
I don't know. It's funny.
Tell me, Buster, tell me why Ohtani's going to get booed. What did he do wrong in all this? The guy was at home when somebody else speculated he was on a plane.
Well, and Carlo, you know this better than I do, but you know my perception of a lot of that goes on during free agency is, a player will be told by his agent, hey, it'd be really good if you talked to Team X. It'd be really great if you talked to Team Y. And, if you're representing Ohtani in that situation last year, I'm assuming they were looking for other teams that would push the bidding against the Dodgers. And so here come the Blue Jays with an acute need for a left-handed hitter, an international market. And so I wonder if Ohtani was just, if Nez, his agent basically said, yeah, let's go talk to the Blue Jays. Let's create this wild card in the negotiation. Ohtani, maybe, working through his translator was like, okay. And so did he do anything wrong that anybody else, who was looking at it? It's like turning in multiple, job applications that he essentially did. And so to get booed for that would seem kind of silly. But on the other hand, we did have that day of craziness and the expectations of fans being built up. So I agree with you. Probably going to get booed.
Yeah, I don't think it's about the Jays being used as leverage so much as it was. There was an expectation. There was a belief in this city that Ohtani was coming on a plane to Toronto. And there
but
was
not
a
because
conference.
It came out of Ohtani's
no,
mouth.
No, I understand that. But you're giving sports fans too much credit here. Like,
no, I get it. They want
people are extremely passionate.
Well, can I jump in with a?
Of course,
I'll jump in with a thought here. See if you guys agree with me on this. As you guys are talking, I'm like, in some respects, the response to Ohtani last night is going to be him having to pay for the fact that through the years, the Blue Jays have always been the team where people didn't want to go there, right? Because players didn't want to go through customs. Or maybe they had some, weird perception of, well, I don't know if I, I want to play in another country, whatever. But it feels like that after, years of being used as a stalking horse, and the Blue Jays have been used as that by many free agency through the years, that Ohtani's going to answer for that.
I think it's a great point, Buster, and I think it's also going to be a reflection on how Toronto Blue Jays fans feel about this current management team and what type of team that's been put together this year, one that has underperformed, especially at the plate. They're 500 after their rain-shortened game yesterday against Kansas City. And this is an outlet. We even saw it in the Blue Jays home opener. John Schneider was booed. How often are managers booed after 89 win seasons? And we know how it played out with Berríos and the early hook that for Kikuchi in the second game against Minnesota. But what I think tonight, assuming Ohtani is booed, more so represents is the discontent that Toronto Blue Jays fans have with Atkins and Shapiro and
that's fair.
The current guys in charge. I think that's what it's when it boils down to it, and maybe it's almost a subconscious thing for Blue Jays fans. When Ohtani gets booed, they're really booing Atkins and Shapiro.
Well, and I think your point about Schneider is a great one. Like, and I know John a little bit. I don't know him well, but I'm sure that him having been in baseball, he completely gets that, right? Like, fans can't boo Ross. They can't boo Mark. They don't have that opportunity. But when John Schneider goes out and he makes a pitching change, that's their opportunity to boo somebody. And yeah. Now, because of how that situation played out last winter, and I told you at the time, I think there was no chance he was going to the Blue Jays unless all the other teams said, no, we're not going to bid on him. I think they absolutely were used as a stalking horse, which is standard operating procedure in a negotiation with free agents. That's just the way it plays out. And I don't blame the Blue Jays for shooting their shot. You know, what happened if, I mean, they didn't know what the Dodgers had on the table. What if it was, in fact, they were the team that was going to be $150 to $200 million apart from any other team for the most unique talent in baseball history? I don't think the Blue Jays did anything wrong either.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, the result is that he's in the other uniform tonight. He's in the visiting team's uniform, and they're going to respond to that.
Speaking of uniform, it would be the ultimate troll job if the Dodgers made a mistake with Ohtani's jersey and put Morosi on the back instead of Ohtani.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I was saying, Buster, you should throw out the first pitch tonight.
Oh, wow.
No, but we're not going to have you. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, J.P. Morosi is a really – he's a nice person, and he would be the sort of – have the sense of humor where if he were to be asked to do that – he probably would have a big laugh over it and be able to chuckle at himself.
Well, that's why we're laughing at it. We're trying to poke fun at it. We're not really mad at Morosi. Mistakes happen. Buster, I got so through after yesterday's loss, the Blue Jays are 500 again, and they play in an American League East division right now. Where you look at the teams in there, everyone's either at 500 or over 500, a couple games within each other. Like, the Blue Jays cannot afford to go on a big losing streak here or a losing stretch and expect to contend in this division with how good everybody else is playing. How much longer do you think they put up with this offense struggling as much as they are and decide to make a change either with players or with coaches that control that?
Yeah, I would be surprised if they made a change with coaches, this early. And here's the problem is that, through my conversations, through many years with people in front offices, making a change with a lineup early in the season is really hard. Making trades is really hard. Typically teams like to play about a quarter of the season before they draw their conclusions. Now, the Blue Jays have the benefit of, since they essentially rolled out the same group of saying, okay, well, it's not just a quarter of this season. It's all of last season. At some point, you begin to make adjustments. But the one, I think one bit of hope for the Blue Jays as they look at how they've performed so far is that you would assume at some point that Bo Bichette gets back to being Bo Bichette, right? And that is a reasonable expectation. If they were sitting there saying, yeah, we think George Springer is going to become a 300 hitter, that would be something else. I do think there's a positive sign with how Varsho has started the year. He's been their most productive offensive player in terms of power. So we'll see if they actually get better. But I don't really think that given the structure of the team, given the time of year, given what the prices are in the trade market and how you essentially would have to pay, retail plus 40%, I don't think there's going to be a lot of change there. I think they have to hope that Bo and Vladdy, like they hoped during the wintertime, would be able to lead a turnaround.
ESPN MLB insider Buster Olney is our guest. This is hour four of First Up, and we talked about yesterday's game that was rain shortened, five innings. John Schneider, the manager of the Jays, was not impressed with the umpires, the decisions made around calling that game after five. Let's listen to what Schneider said yesterday, Buster, and we'll have you react.
First and foremost, I think that the entire day was handled, kind of poorly just from starting the game. What was said out there was the fact that the field was unplayable didn't want to continue the game. My opinion, the field was significantly better than it was in the third, fourth, and fifth inning, and made that very known to Chris and the crew. I think they were respectful and understandable. They understood that. Way to lose a game.
You think Schneider has a beef with the umpires yesterday, Buster?
Yeah, he does. Look, you can't see how it played out, and in the end say, yeah, that was all handled the right way. You know, and I don't know what the communication was in the first, two or three innings between the umpires and the grounds crew, but the bottom line is when you have the situation where, you know, you have a long rain delay and that's when they decide, yeah, the field's just not in good shape, that means somewhere along the way there it was mishandled. And Chris is a terrific umpire, and he's very respected by people in the game. But, you know, whether it was him or whether it was what was communicated by the groundskeepers or how they, maintained the field along the way, somewhere a mistake was made. And you can understand why, the Blue Jays were upset, that John was upset. And I think to some degree, I don't know if you saw it, but the Royals were upset. Like, you know, in the groundhog day after day after day of a baseball season, having a situation where you wait 3.5 hours and then you cancel the game because the field's unplayable, it's just not acceptable.
I think you're spot on. And that whole thing was a debacle yesterday, sitting around and waiting for that game to resume, and eventually it didn't. And considering the circumstances around it, I totally empathize with Schneider. Now they got to contend with Ohtani and company starting tonight. As disgruntled as Blue Jays fans are with the start of the season, again, the Jays are 13-13. Houston Astros fans, Buster, must be melting down right now. This team is horrendous. What are they, 7-19? The Houston Astros are 7-19. What is going on, and how, if, can they get it back on the rails? Is that even a possibility at this point?
Yeah, and this is a team, a franchise, that's made the American League Championship Series 7 years in a row, right? Wow. And so to play at this standard, Alex Bregman has never seen anything like this in his professional life, a team this bad. Look, it starts with the fact that they, had a thinner rotation because of injuries. Verlander was not on the roster, as you guys know, at the start of the year. He's back now. But then Framber Valdez went down, and Christian Javier went down, and Jose Urquidy went down. And guys that they needed to step in, like Hunter Brown, have not done well. The bullpen's been something of a mess, in the middle in particular. Now, the one saving grace to this start is nobody in the American League West, which in theory has some really great teams, defending champion, Texas Rangers, the Seattle Mariners. No one has run away with this division. So it's bought time for them. The one thing I would say, Max Scherzer probably is going to be back in the big leagues within 10 days. He's going to be activated for the Rangers. Jacob deGrom, later in the summer, he's going to be activated. He looks great in his rehab work that he's doing. Down the line, at some point, the Rangers are going to gather steam, and they potentially could take off. So the Astros have to rope-a-dope it early on, hang in there, rely on their offense, and try to get their pitching right. But it is a mess right now.
Buster, I just want to take you back a couple days ago. Yankees were playing Oakland, and Hunter Wendelstad was behind the plate and kicked out Aaron Boone. And we've got a segment on our show called Pigeon or Peacock, where a peacock, you praise the person, and a pigeon is someone you just don't respect. How big of a pigeon of a move was that by Hunter Wendelstad to kick out Aaron Boone when he didn't even say anything?
Yeah, I think the pigeon move actually came after the game. He doubled down on it where, he ejects Aaron Boone when it's clear on replay that Aaron Boone said nothing. And in all likelihood, Hunter was reacting to what a fan yelled at him one row behind the Yankees dugout. And you know what? Stuff can happen. Like, and once you eject somebody in the way that he did, then you can't go back on that. You can't say, yes, my bad. Sorry, no, you're still in the game. You ejected him. But when you go into the clubhouse after the game, the umpire's room, and you see a replay, which was available to all of us within 30 seconds, it felt like, with all the audio, then you realize you made a mistake, and you should say to the reporter, you know what? It looks like I made a mistake, and I'm sorry for that. I blew it. As opposed to saying, no, it wasn't the fan at all. And, yeah, if it wasn't Aaron Boone, it was his team, and he needs to control that. It was terrible. Like, the best I think the way professionals handle these situations is you own it. Players are expected to do that every day. Hunter should have done that in this case. The one thing I would say is that while Aaron Boone should not have been ejected, and this is someone who I worked with, he's a, you know, he's a friend, I would say he needs to look at the situation and say, man, all the times they've been getting ejected, the umpires, I don't want to say they're gunning for him, but they clearly are annoyed by him. We saw last year with Laz Diaz, who made fun of Booney when he came out one time, was arguing a call like, yeah, do your shtick, go ahead, you know, Booney, do that. That's not a good place for Booney to be with the umpires, and he needs to learn from this as well.
So, Buster, what was worse, Hunter Wendelstadt's behavior postgame or the Atlanta Falcons using the 8 pick on Michael Penix?
What were they doing? Right? I mean, before the end of the first round, you got the agent for Kirk Cousins saying, hey, what were you doing? And saying that Cousins had no awareness of it. He just signed a, what, four-year, $160 million deal, and then he used the first pick in the draft to take an older quarterback. Okay, Penix is not like 19 years old. He's 23, so you would assume they're going to want to play him in the next couple of years. What was the thinking there? You know, maybe it was the best thing for Bill Belichick that he didn't get that job.
No kidding. He's probably like, woo, bullet dodged. All right, we're good here. Yeah, I think your sentiment is shared by most. I've not heard anyone defend the selection yet, but I'm sure someone's got to have some kind of hot take saying, oh, it was a brilliant move by the Falcons. What a maneuver. But I don't know. Good luck to those people because I
yeah, it was the Falcons GM who's saying that, apparently.
That's right. Maybe his family members.
In the face of all the criticism, it just doesn't make any sense.
I don't
know. You know, make
either.
The team better in other ways when you bring in a veteran quarterback.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. Buster, you're the best. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll head down to the Dome this evening to boo Ohtani in your honor, okay?
All right, well, have fun with that, guys.
Yes.
See ya.
That's
See ya, pal.
ESPN's Buster Olney. Interesting conversation about the Ohtani thing tonight, and I will be tuned in, that's for sure, at 7 o'clock for his first
you're
gonna
play
appearance.
You're going to be booing him.
And they're going to be booing him, and I'm going to love it. He is probably going to make, oh, you're going to boo me, really? And then he's going to hit three dingers. And he's like, boo me now. Boo me now. We'll hear some of our conversation with Darren Dreger, our hockey insider. My best bet still to come as well as hour number four here on this Friday morning continues.